Orbison there for you. Where is people like Roy Orbison when we need them, right? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, my partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday, February the 3rd already. I wonder if the groundhog comes out in Tampa. I know it's supposed to come out in Poxitoni, up way up there in Pennsylvania, but I wonder if it comes out in Tampa anywhere. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jim Antle. He is with the American Conservative. He's CEO, I believe. And we're going to talk about what he believes is an impeachment, which was, number one, built for cable news and also done for what he calls hawkish purposes. I think you're going to find him very interesting. And Lindsey Graham vowing to get to the bottom of the Hunter Biden. What do you call that when you go to work for a company that you have no connection to? He wants to get to the bottom of the Hunter Biden story. In the meantime, senators resuming their deliberations on whether or not to throw out Donald Trump. Looks like they're going to take the vote on Wednesday. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have our northern spy in the sky, Angelo Ceresi, talk to us, give us his thoughts on all of this. And have you been listening to the, I guess there's over 300 people now dead from that coronavirus. Is there an anti-Chinese bias forming because of that? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, boy, do we have a good one. The top 10 most educated states in the U.S. Is your state one of them? We're going to find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And for you guys in Tampa Bay, there is no better place to go for a great haircut, a great price, and a great environment. It's located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right. We also want to mention that since we're on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, find out what we're going to be who we're going to be having on our show, upcoming shows, we let you know. And you can listen to past shows. Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay. So, I guess, among other things, the Super Bowl took place, and everybody was watching that, I suppose. And later in the show, Ed and I will talk about whether or not Ed was close in his prediction. In the meantime, Kellyanne Conway was unloading on the Democratic presidential field over the weekend. She calls the field unimpressive. Now, Kellyanne Conway, for those of you that don't know, is the White House counselor. She's been riding in this crazy wagon train of Donald Trump's ever since he took office. And she says Iowa caucus goers, and by the way, the caucus, which is the way Iowa handles a primary, it's the first one, and it's going to be held tomorrow. Tomorrow, they're going to vote. And she says the caucus goers essentially are forced to choose which level of socialism they prefer. I think she's right. So she was talking yesterday with Fox News in a phone call, and she traveled to Des Moines. And she applauded Republican leadership there. She said, caucus goers on the Democratic side will have a choice. Which level of socialism do they need? Or do they choose to reject or advance? And of which of these unimpressive, unremarkable, and underwhelming candidates who remain, which, by the way, is a much older and whiter field than they would like people to think. And then she said at some point, I think Democrats' idea of woke is a joke. I missed this interview. You know, Fox was relishing in the Super Bowl, both Fox Cable News and Fox Regular. She went on to criticize the field for their lack of diversity. And she says they've already spit out, before even the first vote, two African-American U.S. senators, one male, one female, A Hispanic former cabinet official in the Obama cabinet, a female senator running on a female empowerment platform. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, she was having fun with that. Because if you think about it, they're all pretty Caucasian from what I can see, right? Are there any African-Americans left? No. What's going on with the Democratic Party? They managed to get old white people at the front of the ticket. They're all about 80 years old, aren't they? Isn't Bernie Sanders close to 80? And Joe Biden's right behind him. And right behind him is Elizabeth Warren. They're all up there. And those are the top, aren't those the top three running right now? In the meantime, Lindsey Graham said yesterday, now he's the South Carolina Democratic senator, that he and other Republicans will start calling witnesses within weeks on the Hunter Biden situation in the Ukraine, as well as the FBI surveillance of Carter Page. That was the former Trump campaign advisor. He said, we're going to get to the bottom of this. He was being interviewed on Fox News. He urged Jim Risch, who is the GOP Idaho senator and chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, to call the chief of staff to John Kerry. Remember, he ran for president some time back, former Secretary of State. So he wants to call the former chief of staff to Kerry to talk about concerns he reportedly raised about Burisma, the energy company where Biden and I think one of Kerry's stepsons was serving. So we'll see where that goes. Now, Hunter Biden joined the firm of Burisma 6 years ago, just after his father took over the watch, you might say, under the Obama administration, the watch of Ukraine. Yeah, he watched it real good. He watched it to make a buck. And he used his son to help, right? But we don't want to investigate those kinds of things. Do you ever notice on some of the, during the debate itself, the impeachment, how anytime you want to bring up Hunter Biden and what he did, or Joe Biden and what he did, you're kind of shut down. It's like, well, we're not, that's not relevant. What was the word that the Democrats always use? Something like, it's not relevant to talk about what they did. We're here to talk about what Donald Trump did. Well, yeah, but what Donald Trump did is based on what they did. Isn't that true? But you can't talk about Hunter Biden or the former vice president, getting directly involved in shutting down an inquiry in the Ukraine into the Burisma, the corrupt Burisma energy company, of which his son was employed. Because remember, Biden told everybody, what I did was I went over there, or I got on the phone, and I said, you don't fire that prosecutor looking into the Burisma. You're not getting the $1 billion. And you only got a certain amount of time, and son of a bee, they fired him. Now, that's okay, but we can't look into that. He was vice president. Talk about a quid pro quo. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to take our break. I think we're still trying, Ed, aren't we, to get our buddy? We haven't gotten him on the phone yet, Jim Andel. So we'll hopefully have him, maybe, on the other end if we don't, on the other end of this break. If we don't, got some other things to talk about, so stick with us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for joining us. We're still trying to get our guest, who is the CEO of the American Conservative, Jim Antle. But in the meantime, gives us an opportunity to talk about some things we might not have gotten around to this morning. And one of them is the interview that President Trump had with Sean Hannity. And I missed that, Ed. I don't even remember what time that thing was supposed to have occurred. But did you get a chance? Did you see the interview with Sean Hannity of Fox and President Trump before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it came on like about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
All right.
I didn't really have a chance to put my ear to it, but I think he was just explaining, you know, they asked him a lot about, you know, the impeachment, of course, and, you know, he was saying that it was a sham and all that stuff.
Yeah, in fact, we got some info on it, but I wasn't sure what time it was, and, you know, he's got a great audience then, doesn't he, leading up to a Super Bowl, and Sean Hannity, very conservative. Sean Hannity, if you don't know, does a regular show 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern time on the Fox News Network. I think it's number one. I think the Sean Hannity Show is the number one most watched cable news program now. So that's pretty impressive. Anyway, so they do this interview in the pregame, and Trump confirmed that he's going to do a State of the Union tomorrow as scheduled. He's still being impeached. They're still going to have to vote, but that vote won't come until Wednesday. I mean, come on. It's just a matter now. It'll be an overwhelming acquittal, of course. So he had some things to say about a lot of people. And first of all, on our buddy Nancy Pelosi, he says, I think she's a very confused, very nervous woman. She does always seem to be. I've used the word befuddled. Does that sound right about her? She's kind of befuddled, you know?
Yeah, I'd say that fits her.
He says, Trump says, I don't think she wanted to do this, meaning the impeachment. I think she really knew what was going to happen, and her worst nightmare has happened. I don't think she's going to be there too long either. I think that the radical left, and she's sort of radical left too, by the way, he says, but I think the radical left is going to take over. Then he talked, of course, about the investigations. Well, it's been very unfair from the day I came down from the escalator. Probably started from there. He says, the Mueller report, Russia, 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 total nonsense, all nonsense, whole thing, very unfair. Says there's a revolution going on in this country. And he says, I mean a positive revolution. Noting that the unemployment rate's plummeting among minority groups. Hey, also, Ed, did you see that commercial? I thought it was pretty effective. Trump's commercial. He had a black woman on.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty effective commercial.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, which way is this going?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I didn't know if it was Bloomberg's or what. But, and...
She made a pretty powerful case, I thought.
30-second spot is $5 million.
Right.
In the Super Bowl.
Did you see the Bloomberg spot? I did not.
I did. Yeah, it was just like the other ones.
It didn't impress you?
It didn't really target anything. I mean, it was just a very broad brush. You know, just... I'm gonna fix the economy. Well, the economy's fixed.
I know.
Where have you been?
You know, the other thing is, I think he wants to phone in his campaign. I mean, is he gonna go out there and get his hands dirty, or is he just gonna sit back?
I don't know.
Has he spent money on television, which may work?
Has he even been in a debate yet?
No.
Oh.
No, he's not been in a debate.
Listen, if he wants to throw
money
away, he's
kind of above the fray of everything. Can you see him wandering down the street in Iowa shaking hands? Of course not.
Yeah.
He's not going to be there.
Cursing out people with big gulps in their hand. That's going to kill you.
That's it. He should go to all the 7-Elevens in Des Moines and chide people for drinking the big Slurpees.
He just says stuff like he's going to fix health care. I'm going to make sure every American's got health care. Why are you going to do it? You're not going to say.
No, of course not. They never can answer exactly what they're going to do, other than spend your money.
But mind you, I have to be in office for 8 years for it to work.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, I think, Donald Trump, I don't know. Of course, he's going after it. So what do you go after Bloomberg for? And he's always looking for something personal. For Bloomberg, it's his stature. You talked about standing, he'll have to stand on top of a box or something behind the dais to talk. I don't know if he's. I don't think he needs to go there.
I'm telling you, every week we do this show, and there's no clear-cut favorite yet on the Democratic side.
No, there isn't.
Whatever there is split still. And, you know, if they're going to split this thing, it's not good for them.
Yeah. I mean, there's still very little on... there's very little going on in the Democratic Party, but I did want to, speaking about little... This is how Trump felt about Bloomberg. He says, very little. I just think of little. So he thinks very little of him. But then there's this sort of double-edged little that's involved with it. He says, you know, he wants a box for the debates to stand on, okay? He says, there's nothing wrong. You can be short. Why should he get a box to stand on?
Who's that little guy behind the mic? Stand up. Let's see.
Oh, my goodness. You know, there's a term called, you've heard this, Ed, the Napoleonic complex. Do you think Bloomberg is a perfect example of the Napoleonic complex?
How tall is he, actually?
4'11".
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to guess. I would say he's about 5'7", 5'6", maybe.
Yeah, I think if you're a male under 5'7", you're considered rather... vertically challenged.
Vertically. I like the word vertically challenged. Yeah, that's a word of today. Well, so he's going after him. Here's the thing. I mean, you can make fun of Donald Trump. I don't know. I guess the other side is, well, I'm not going to go at his level. But they could make fun of Donald.
Oh, come on. They can't stop with the hair. They can't stop that he's orange. He's been called an orangutan because he's orange. But that's okay.
Well, I haven't heard that one too much, but I guess there are some people about the orangutan.
The girls on The View, they were calling them orangutan.
Oh, okay. Well, now you watch The View, huh?
No, I don't. No, I saw a clip of it.
All right.
Not at gunpoint, I wouldn't watch The View.
I know. That thing, that would drive me nuts to listen to those people squawking. Unbelievably scary.
I like the, was it Prince Harry and his... His wife, they moved to Canada, you know.
Yeah.
Said goodbye to the royal family.
I
now,
know.
She wants to move to America, back to America.
She wants to get in the movies or something.
But only after Donald Trump is out of office.
She's got another 5 years, doesn't she?
So finally, somebody So I was in a paper or something. He said the headline was, "Finally, someone follows through with moving to Canada."
Yeah.
You remember Whoopi and all that? I'm moving to Canada.
All these celebrities in Hollywood were going to move to Canada.
And now Canada's saying, fine, but you pay your own way. Just because you're royalty doesn't mean you're going to get everything for free.
Yeah.
So Harry's
gonna
have to
get a job. I wonder where in Canada
they're
going to live. I guess they'll live up. I bet they live on the West Coast, like in Vancouver or something like that.
You know, I Pryor Smith was seeing, he's always had a tidbit of something of that, but it's not a common place, but wherever it is, there are just, it's a regular town. It's nothing special.
It's not Vancouver, then.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because I've skied there, and I was thought, well, that's nice. You can't be that hard of life living in Vancouver.
Oh, no. Vancouver's a beautiful city.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful city. In fact, British Columbia is a beautiful province. It's much like the west coast of the United States. All of the natural beauty, you know. Anyway, we still haven't got Jim, right?
No.
Okay. Poor Jim. We'll get him on another day. But this, again, silver lining here. I want to talk a little bit about another candidate for the Democratic presidency. And this is, I found, to be an interesting look at Pete Buttigieg. And this is Christopher Bedford writing about him in The Federalist. He says, Buttigieg is not a moderate, really. You know, people say, well, now, who are the moderates left? There's Biden and Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar. Well, maybe Buttigieg is not quite the moderate, according to Bedford. He says, if you read the New York Times or the Atlantic or you watch CBS, the former mayor, Pete Buttigieg, is decidedly a moderate, if you listen to them. A traditional centrist who embodies the Democratic primary's rightward drift. But Christopher Bedford says, what's so traditionally centrist or moderate about Mayor Pete? From health care and abortion to guns and immigration, and from the Supreme Court to the Electoral College, the guy is decidedly a radical. Behind all his carefully selected scripture quotes that so easily confound coastal reporters is a politician whose justifications are difficult to recognize through the eyes of any of the world's major Christian religions. He says, let us start with health care. Buttigieg has rejected his prior embrace of the socialist-favored Medicare for All in favor of a glide path to Medicare for All. And so it's still a Medicare for all. He says on abortion, Buttigieg leaves even less to the imagination. He assured a lifelong Democratic activist who opposed abortion during a town hall, I'm not going to try to earn your vote by tricking you. And then he declined to comment to altering the party's platform language on abortion, which basically, I mean, if you're pro-life, you're not welcome in the Democratic Party. You're just not welcome. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, they can say, oh, yes, we're a big tent. No, you're not. So, and I recommend the article. Go to the Federalist and look for the Christopher Bedford article on Pete Buttigieg. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about what's going on with both the State of the Union and the impeachment and the Iowa caucus with our guy in the sky, Angelo.
By the way, just an update, Prince Harry and Meghan were in Vancouver for Christmas, but they've since moved to Toronto.
They're going to live in Toronto?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, thank you, Ed. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back and delighted to have our spy in the sky, in the northern sky up in northern New York, Angelo Ceresi, joining us. And Angelo, a lot of important things coming up. We got the State of the Union tomorrow. You know, with President Trump, we have the Iowa caucus tomorrow, and then Wednesday we have the impeachment vote. So my first question, of course, who were you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Well, Buffalo wasn't in.
No.
And since I was born in 1949, I figured I'd go with the Niners, but Kansas City won last night.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good reason. The year you were born, in the 49ers. A lot of people don't even know what the 49er moniker on the San Francisco
club. The California Gold Rush.
Exactly right. The 49ers in 1849, they came over looking for gold. I guess not very far from San Francisco, right?
I guess so, right around that area.
Very good. You sound very well informed. Okay, let's get to some other things. President Trump, despite the impeachment vote, is going to give his State of the Union tomorrow night, and at the same time, Iowa is going to come out with their vote in their caucuses on who they want for the Democratic presidential nominee. So it's kind of an eventful day tomorrow, Angelo. Any thoughts at all about what Trump should say in his State of the Union, and are we going to be watching Nancy Pelosi sitting over?
It's official. That's if the Democrats show up. They may boycott him like they did his inauguration.
Do you think so?
They could. I wouldn't put anything past them, you know?
Mm-hmm. That would
But if I were him, you know, actually, if I were him, I would wait until after the vote on the impeachment and all that stuff. But, you know, I guess he wants to do it on Tuesday. I give him a lot of credit.
I think he feels that it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be acquitted. Sure. And it is, actually. There's no chance. So,
and he should talk about what he has accomplished in mm-hmm. his 3 years, despite the, you know, or within this last year, because I guess the State of the Union is for 2019. And going into 2020.
That's right, exactly right. Yeah, what we're looking to do, exactly. What we've done, what we're looking to do. And he's got so much he can talk about, right?
He's actually right. He can talk about what he has accomplished. And I'm sure the Democrats, they won't, you know, they're going to pull their shenanigans They may say he's not the president, he's an imposter, blah, 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 all the stuff that they've been saying.
Yeah, they're going to say there's an asterisk now that's going to be next to his name. He was impeached, as if somehow whatever they did was legitimate.
Right. In their sick minds, they think they're, you know,
yeah,
a bunch of Looney Tunes, to be honest with you.
So here we go with the... And we were talking earlier about this on the caucus in Iowa. Mm-hmm. Look who are left standing for the Democrats running for president. They're all old white people, except maybe Pete Buttigieg. And he's
no
a young white people
amongst them.
Huh?
Somebody was complaining that there is no diversity.
Not anymore.
I know. I mean, they're supposed to be the party of diversity,
right?
And now they're complaining amongst themselves.
Well, isn't that funny?
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. And you got the communists, they're leading the pack.
Yeah, you got old white people, a communist leading the pack. That would really be something. You know, actually, wouldn't it be maybe, what's the word, providential if we had a socialist like Bernie Sanders, an avowed, admitted socialist, running against a capitalist like Donald Trump? Because it would give us an opportunity to educate ourselves on the differences
between
the
communism
two.
And capitalism.
Yeah, and social.
Would,
yeah.
You know, but do you think these millennials, well, a lot of them are supposed to be educated people, but they don't know about Che Guevara in Cuba. They don't know about the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917.
That's right.
You know?
That's correct.
Because they were never taught, and these liberal college professors espouse the Communist Manifesto, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Angelo Ceresi. We call him our northern spy in the sky for us. He's up there in Rochester, New York.
Well, would you believe we got temperatures in the 30s today, and a lot of the snow is gone, believe it or not.
I believe it. We've had a very mild winter.
And Rochester has the dubious distinction of having more snow this year than Anchorage, Alaska. It was in the newspaper the other
really?
Day.
Really?
Yeah. We lead the nation in large cities, such, you know, that receive snow.
Yeah.
And Rochester's at the top of the list that we have had, in, you know, for the entire season, like 60 inches of snow.
Now, is Rochester get more snow than either Buffalo or Syracuse, New York?
It depends on how the storms come up on the East Coast, you know, because you get the nor'easter that comes up along the side, and you get the wind that comes across the Great Lakes, and that doubles the pile of snow. You know, sometimes Buffalo gets a lot of snow, or Syracuse. One's on the western end of the state. The other one's on the eastern end of the state, and we're in between.
Okay.
So it depends on how it is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be either way, you know. But this year, we're leading the pack. We're beating Buffalo or Syracuse.
Well, there you go. Hey, did you happen to catch the one-minute Super Bowl commercial that Michael Bloomberg did?
Oh, yes.
Tell us, because I did not see that. What was your impression of that?
You can see he's very anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment, because they were talking about that. You know, the murdering of children and this and that and all that stuff. And there's this lady talking about, I think her son was killed, and he's talking in the background where he's going to stop the sale of guns and this and that. I mean, he's really espousing, you know, doing away with the Second Amendment. He wants to have medical care. He wants to have medical care for everybody, you know. Doesn't tell you how they're going to do it, right? And for a fact, he is anti-Second Amendment. He wants to change the Constitution on that.
I heard that there was actually a little bit of a deception when he talked about statistics with gun violence.
Oh, yeah.
In that particular scenario. I don't have the story up right now, but he said something that really wasn't true about the number of shootings or killings or something like that.
Right, right. You know, and people have to understand it's not the gun that kills. It's people, you know? The gun is an inanimate object.
Correct.
I know that just that alone, you know, they're pushing probably him to get it. The Democratic Party, they're going to rig the nomination process, because I know there's people in the Democratic Party that don't want Bernie Sanders. or Elizabeth Warren. Well, so they're going to rig it against like they did with Hillary Clinton.
Did you know that
he can buy his way into the Democratic Party, which it looks like he's doing?
Not only that, Angelo, but is he going to get his hands dirty by actual, well, he's showing up at any of these primaries, or is he going to run it all from an ivory tower with just commercials on, you know, major networks and stuff?
I don't know. Right now, I don't know if he's in any of the debates going to be coming up.
Not so far.
So who knows? I mean,
although they may change the rules and say if you've spent enough money.
Right. They're used to changing the rules, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know? So there's, you know, it depends on, I bet you how Bernie Sanders does with the Iowa caucuses. They're not today, are they? They are tomorrow.
No, the caucuses are Tuesday. They're tomorrow.
Did you want to hear the Bloomberg spot?
Yes. Let's listen, Angelo. Ed's got the Bloomberg spot. This is the commercial that Michael Bloomberg, the audio that Michael Bloomberg ran during the Super Bowl.
George started football when he was 4 years old. He would wake up every Saturday ready for the game. That became our life. He had aspirations about going to the NFL. On a Friday morning, George was shot. George didn't survive. So I just kept saying, you cannot tell me that the child that I gave birth to is no longer here. Lives are being lost every day. It is a national crisis. I heard Mike Bloomberg speak. He's been in this fight for so long, he heard mothers crying, so he started fighting. When I heard Mike Les stepping into the ring, I thought, now we have a dog in the fight. I know Mike is not afraid of the gun lobby. They're scared of him. And they should be. Mike's fighting for every child because you have a right to live. No one has a right to take your hopes and dreams.
I'm Mike Bloomberg, and I approve this message.
Well, there you go. So they were talking, I guess, you know, it's sort of an emotional. It is emotional. I mean, right. Nobody is going to say, oh, you know, I mean, you're gonna feel that. So, what's the point? He doesn't seem to have a solution, does he?
No, he doesn't have a solution. I know that he's always, since he was in public office here down in New York City, he was a anti-gunner. He's anti-Second Amendment, and he's going to be pushing that as being anti-Second Amendment.
You know what's hypocritical about all of that? I'll bet when he wanders down the street, he's got more guns around him.
Oh, absolutely. They usually do.
I bet he's got 8 to 10 guns around him as he walks down the street. That's really kind of hypocritical to talk about no guns.
Let's face it. The Democratic Party, well, look at it this way. You've got Bernie Sanders. He's a millionaire. You got Pocahontas. She's a millionaire.
Right.
All these people who say the rich are taking our money. We have to divide the wealth, right? Ask them if they're going to divide their wealth, you know?
They're not going to divide their wealth. History of socialism is that the people running the socialist state are all millionaires or more.
It's always been that way.
Of course.
And the peasants get what's left, the crumbs.
As a matter of fact, the crumbs are taken from the peasants. Remember what Joe Stalin would do? He'd starve his people to death.
Starve his people to death, yes.
So this is exactly right. Real quickly, before we go on this, did you know that John Kerry, the former Secretary of State, speaking about all of the soap opera going on in the Democratic primary, he's been overheard saying that he might enter the race?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wow. Can you imagine if he got in? He says,
"Well, he's really a Vietnam veteran. I think he'd get off of the boat and take pictures. They have guys take pictures of him, you know."
He's wild. Sitting in the lobby restaurant of the Renaissance Hotel in Des Moines, he was overheard by an analyst saying, "Quote: Maybe I'm effing deluding myself, explaining that in order to run, he'd have to step down from the board of the Bank of America and give up his ability to make paid speeches. He said donors like venture capitalist Doug Hickey would have to, quote, raise a couple of million, adding that such donors, quote, now have the reality of Bernie. So now after all this comes out, he's saying, you know, oh, no, I'm not going to run, you know. But that's kind of funny, isn't it?
He probably sobered
up. I'm
sure
he's got the delusion of grandeur, and I'm sure Hillary's chomping at the bit. Because
yeah, we got to get Hillary in, Oprah in. We got to get Michelle Obama in. Who else have to get in?
Joe Biden,
get her in.
He would have Michelle Obama as his vice president. He would ask her to run as his vice president, and former President Obama be placed on the Supreme Court. Isn't he saying that stuff now?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy! We can think up all kinds of crazy things, can't we?
I mean, they're coming. They're so desperate. The thing is, you're going to see a lot of stuff happening because this impeachment thing that they tried to push through didn't work out. They were calling for a fair trial, like he got a fair trial in the House, huh? Holding witnesses down in the tank down there in the basement of the Capitol building, secluded area, you know?
They're even probably going to have some Democrats voting to exonerate him. Our friend from West Virginia, among others.
Who's Steve Manchin?
Yeah, I think Manchin's going to vote to acquit. I don't think any Republican will vote to convict. I think every Republican, including Romney, in my opinion.
Romney just really.
But if he voted to convict, can you imagine the chance what they would do to him in Utah?
If I was the Republican Party in Utah, I would run a candidate and primary him.
Well, they're going to do that.
Because this guy, you can see the vindictiveness that these politicians have against one another. If when they don't win or they don't get the position that they wanted, I think he wanted to be Secretary of State. But here's a guy that came out as Trump. This is before Trump, became president-elect. He was a never Trumper. Mm-hmm. He called him a fraud and this and that. And then the guy wants a position in the guy's cabinet? These people, I mean, what the heck
are
they
saying? That's life in Washington. You diss somebody one day, and then you want to be part of his group the next. You know, that's the way life is in Washington.
No wonder the politicians, they got the lowest rating of who? Of a hero.
Yeah, I think they're just above the media when it comes to likability, right? Absolutely.
What attracts people to the president is that this guy, he's not your typical politician. And when he made that phone call to Zelensky in the Ukraine, when he says, "Can you do us a favor?" He's not talking about himself. He was talking about the United States.
Right. Yeah.
And these people take his words and they twist it and turn it around, just like the cuties on The View and everything else, you know?
Right. Angelo, it is always a pleasure, my friend. We got to run, but it is always a pleasure to talk with you on Mondays because you bring a real, I think, down-to-earth viewpoint. So thank you. And we will
appreciate it so much.
Yeah, we will look forward to speaking with you again next week, my friend.
And one thing, what we should do is these people that started all this stuff, they should be brought up on charges of treason and see.
Lindsey Graham is punishing
these people.
Yeah. Lindsey Graham is going to look into some of this thing, especially with the Bidens. Thank you so much, Angelo.
Okay. Appreciate it. You people have a good weekend and stay warm down there.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. There he is, Angelo Ceresi, our spy in the sky up north. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to give you the top 10 most educated states in America.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs?
Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
Must see at least once in your lifetime. Shenyun 2020, returning to the Mahaffey Theater, St. Petersburg, February 14 through 20. Shenyun Performing Arts brings the 5,000 years of civilization to life on stage. Come and witness the majestic culture's return. Tickets at shenyun.com/FL or 888-974-3698.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back. And we got to talk Super Bowl here with Big Ed. He is our sports guru, along with my buddy. And he watched the game, as most of us did, actually. Kansas City winning at 31-20. And, Ed, I'm looking back here, and I believe you did indeed pick the Chiefs by 4 points. So I'd say you did pretty good on this. Got to give you credit.
Well, it was funny because with a minute left, you know, they were up by four, and Kansas City got the ball back. And this guy, who I forget who it was, rips around the left side, and I'm running, I'm yelling, "No, don't score! Don't score!"
You're just like a gambler. Just like a gambler.
Well,
with points.
You know, the whole, you know, they were down by, Kansas City was down by 10. And my friends are looking at me, and I thought you said they're going to pull this down. I said, "Plenty of time left." And then when we were at 4 points ahead, they looked over at me. I just pointed to them. I said, "Here we go."
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they get the ball back, and then they scored again.
So what do you think about Patrick Mahomes? Is he the second coming of...
You know, we always say that, you know, we'll never see another Marino. Or we'll never see another Montana. But Mahomes is, if you look at his styles, a lot like John Elway. If I had to group him in with somebody... He scrambles just enough to get out of the way, and then it's just unbelievable accuracy. He does have a great passing.
And I noticed he was dropping those passes, and they're easy to catch, which is important.
Yeah, and you know? Remember his first year, he sat out, and you know, Andy Reid said, "No, he's just not ready." You know, he was, you know, high draft pick, and he's just not ready. And he came into the league just with all guns forward.
So. What college did he come from? Do you recall?
Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They sling it down there.
They do.
But it's good for the game because it was tight. You know, it was a tight game. Came right down to the... Yeah, you know, they got the ball with 5 minutes left, and they were down by 3 points, Kansas City. And I said, you know, as a quarterback, you can't ask for anything better. Because if you can put together a five-minute drive and score, at least field goal you tie, but score a touchdown, this game's over.
I was saying,
it's in your hands.
Yeah, I was saying to one of the people that we were with, this will now show us what Mahomes is made of because he's, you know, it's all on the line. And like you said, it was 5 or 6 minutes left.
And very humble, too. I like this press conference. You just thank his teammates.
Yeah, he was pretty
constantly.
Humble from what I saw. Should do that.
He's like, "I can't do this alone."
Yeah.
You know, I've got great people, great guys around me.
Right.
So... I thought the whole experience, the commercials were much better than last year. There was something that the whole repetitive 6 hours of pregame just got on my nerves after a while. I told somebody, "Put a movie in. I can't watch another pregame show." But it was just...
What did you think of the halftime show?
Entertaining. I thought it was entertaining. There's something I got to... Oh, what I did not like were real quickly. Did you notice the introductions? You know, all the time that Roger Goodell is saying, "Well, people need to come to the game, experience it." The introductions were done they'd done on a stage somewhere before.
Oh yes.
Instead of, you know, live at the stadium, added linebackers.
Right.
I mean, you live for that, not to go into some tape room and tape something.
Yeah.
Where you dance on the stage a little bit.
All the glitz and glamour and the Hollywood junk is starting to take over much of the Super Bowl. That is. I agree with you.
That was cheesy. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I kind of like that live thing, too. Okay, very good. Thank you, Ed. It's time for our top 10, and we have, a pretty good one. These are the top 10 most educated states in the country. Wallet Hub analyzed how many people 25 years and older have completed certain educational benchmarks, like a bachelor's degree, and the quality of that education in the 50 states, to come up with its rankings of the most educated states in 2020. So here we go. Number 10, Minnesota. Minnesota. Now I'm trying to think. University of Minnesota is there. And after that, I guess there's some good colleges in Rochester. They got the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. So they must be pretty smart, because that's a great, great institution. Okay, number 9, New Jersey. I'm not surprised. Princeton, Einstein went, you know, teaching there. Wouldn't it have been something to have a class that Einstein was teaching at Princeton University? Of course, I wouldn't understand anything he was saying, but I mean, it would be quite an experience. All right, number 8, New Hampshire. Again, these are a lot of these, let's be honest, are up in the Northeast. New Hampshire got a lot of great schools up there, Ivy League schools. Number 7, the state of Washington. Washington, yeah. They've got the University of Seattle and a bunch of other ones. Number 6, Virginia. You know, yeah, we got a lot of good schools in Virginia. And kind of right next to Washington, D.C., not surprising. Number 5, you know, we're kind of hovering around the New England area, Connecticut. Yale, you know. Number 4, Vermont. Yeah, I got Bernie Sanders coming out of Vermont. That's kind of scary.
Everything's
free.
Are
they that educated? Yeah, everything's free. Beginning to wonder about this poll. Number 3. Ah, one of your places, Ed. Colorado. Number 3, most educated. Wow. You have a lot of wealthy people that are living there, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them have been educated pretty well,
I suspect. Big Air Force base, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Okay, number 2. Maryland. Joe Biden territory. Maryland. Baltimore. Chesapeake. You ever been to Maryland, Ed?
Yeah, my father lives up there.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So here we go. And I'm not surprised on this one, Ed. I'm going to have you guess. What do you think is the most educated state in America?
I'll take a shot and say New York. I don't know.
Okay, roll the drum. You know, I might have guessed New York, too, for a lot of reasons. But it's Massachusetts. And look, they got Boston College. You got Harvard.
Yeah.
You got Boston University. They got a lot of different. MIT is there. So it's still the hub. But where all those smart people go, apparently. All right, my friends, thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Always remember, freedom works. Guess you better slow than Mustang.